Today's Mishnayos and Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Yud Perek Yud Beit, Mishnah Dalet. Is everything okay over there? How come everybody's around the, is everything all right? No sound? What's going on?
You need to drink.
I'm drinking the whole time. What's going on over here? I'm wearing one of those kastot where you just suck in the water from them. The Mishnah is very sophisticated. You don't need these old-fashioned glasses and cups when you've got a kasda that includes your water in the middle of everything.
It's not appearing when we click.
See? Okay, so we start off. As I mentioned yesterday, this perek has a series of sets that each one of them talks about an idea. So this is an idea of basically pins, which are called masmerot, but because of the modern association of masmer with a nail, so it's a little bit confusing, but pins of different sorts, okay? So one type of pin, of course, would be the pin on a hypodermic needle. So that's a masmer. That was used in those days to draw blood. Of course, the drawing of the blood wasn't for blood tests, was for the refuah of drawing blood. But that was called the masmer of a gara. And that's tummy, obviously. What about a sundial? So you put a pin into the ground, and then the sun changes position as the earth turns, and you could see the time it is. So that's a machlok. The Tanna Kamma says that's tahar. There's two approaches to this. It's tahar because it's mechubar lekarka. And therefore, anything that's mechubar lekarka is tahar, except, of course, for tano v'kirayim, a special halacha, or because it really doesn't do anything. Basically, I mean, there's branches sticking out of the ground all over the place. I mean, you want to make something a sundial, you know, put your pebbles around it and make it a sundial. I mean, how can you see this as a kli? That's a fascinating approach. And Rabbi Tzedek says it's Tomei. And again, if it's because of its Chibur Lekarka, Rabbi Tzedek says it's Tomei because he holds that it's not Mechubur Lekarka. You insert it into the Karka to use it for a moment, but you move it from place to place. I mean, when you're going around, I mean, you got to take your watch with you, don't you? So, I mean, what do you call that Mechubur Lekarka? You plug it in the next time and you use it there. It doesn't have to be in the Karka. You could put it on top of a shelf. I mean, well, why call that Mechubur? Happens to be right now it's Mechubur. So that would be one approach in Rebbe Tzedek. The other approach in Rebbe Tzedek is that something that is miyuchat to be put into a position where the Adam is using it for his purposes of measurements. Who cares about the fact that it isn't physically moving or turning or anything? That's not the definition of a sheyasek o melacha. Okay, which is a much more fundamental kind of machlokas. There's another type of pin, which is the Masmer HaGardi. The Masmer HaGardi, as Naftali showed us yesterday before removing all of his hair, which makes it more difficult, but put it up there, please, Naftali. So we've got a shuttle. There we go. And right in the middle of that shuttle is the pin. Note how the pin goes through into the wood of the shuttle on either side. And you've got the spool of thread that's on that pin. And again, a pin is called a Masmer, although interestingly, very often it's called a pin. In the Mishnah, Peyud Nun. So this is a Masmer HaGardi, which is Tamei because it's considered to be the Iker of the Kli, and the wooden shuttle is bottled to its main functionary part, and this was thrown between the various threads that were held up and down by the weaving machine. How about the question of things that are used for its container space? So it does have a base kibble, but remember that we have a very interesting din, and that is that clay eights are put together with sock, and from there we learn that it has to be metalto mole verekum, and that's where we get the shear of arboim saw, that if it's more than arboim saw, then by definition it's not really metalto mole verekum. Now it happens to be that there are some type of things that are not because of their size, not metalta molivarekam, but rather because of the derakam de shimosh, is that they are meant to be kavua. You put them in your kitchen and they're not moved around. One of those things was an aron shel grusot. So the grusot were these ground beans that people will use. And they're usually, you store tons of that stuff. And therefore, it wasn't moved. So it's like this big, big container Rebbe Tzedek holds that it's tamei, because the bottom line is it's not our bayim sa, and it is a base kibbutz, and the Chachamim say, but it's not meant to be moved. Now, sometimes you put this on, what do they call those things that you put on the bottom of your fridge that have like ball bearings on it or wheels that allow you to move the fridge? Remember the old fridges, you can never get them to move, and they had like this base. I know it had a specific name. And anyway, so used to use that kind of thing on, which it's called the agala in Hebrew. So if it had an agala with wheels on it, you would put underneath it to make it easier to move. So then that's made out of matechet. And of course, that is tamea, because that's not considered to be bottled to the Aron of Grusot. That is a kli. It's a kli, which is called an agala. Zok de'eleke Mishnah, fifth Mishnah. Okay, more of these masmerot. So sometimes it's literally a masmer. How about if you got a type of masmer, and I'm sure you have done this in your own life, where you've got this door, this cabinet that you can never close properly, so you put a nail in it, you bend the nail, right? So that way if you pull the nail over, so it's the door closure. Well, that used to be very popular anyway. I've certainly used it in my life. So if you make a masmer, you use it to be the way to open and close a door. That's considered to be tameh, as long as it's not actually bechubur to something that's bechubur lekarka. It's a type of clay, and you plug it in and you close it, so then that's fine. But what about a nail that is an 007 nail, meaning that you put this nail in such a way that if anybody went into your hotel room, the nail is moved, and you can tell that your security has been compromised. That's called a masmer that was made for purposes of shmirah. And that is tahar, because it doesn't really do anything at all. It's just there for you to use as a sign. How about a masmer shetkini lot poter ba'at hachavit? Now, sometimes you need to pry open a tight-fitting cover. So you've got a nail that you set aside in your kitchen, you want to use this nail to pry open barrels when they're tough to open. Rabbi Akiva says, okay, so fine. That's a kli by definition. It's been miyuchad for that purpose. The Chachamim say, no, because it has to be ro'i for its purpose. I got news for you. You take a nail and you try to use it to pry open a chavit, 95% of the time what you end up is with a bent or broken nail and a tightly sealed chavit, okay? So if you want a chavit that's going to work with a nail, you're going to have to temper that nail. You're going to have to harden that nail. And only then you can be mitzaref it. Yes, chachomi mitzaref it, nachit zrafenu. You can make it a special tempered nail, and then you can use it. You can't take a normal nail. Now, there's another type of use of the word masmer. We said use masmer for a nail, use masmer for a pin, but you can also use masmer as a bar. And in fact, there was a very, very popular use of the word masmer as a bar where you have a bar of the shulchani. Now, remember, we had this in Shabbos and question of what things you're allowed to move on Shabbat and so on. So the shulchani had a very cute kind of arrangement. Okay, so like say he would have something on the bottom floor of his home. He would have this security closure over his window, and it would come from the bottom up towards the top of the window, would have hinges on the bottom of the window, and he would have outside of his house, outside of that window, against on the street, the other side of the sidewalk, he would have this piece of wood that was in the ground that had a hole, a large round hole on the top. And through the large round hole, you could pass a bar that would then extend the entire length of his security closure to his window, his trees. He would then lower the trees, it would fall onto the bar, and he would use the back of his security trees as the table where he conducted business. Ah, perfect. Okay, so as you see, it's got the shutter half open there. It's heading down towards the metal bar, which is called a masmer. That masmer supported it. What? That's not a perfect picture because maybe those pieces on the shutter are there in order to make it even so that they bounce up against the bar so they keep it straight. So then it is a perfect picture. Okay, lovely. So then that would be a tahar because it's meant always to be used in conjunction with that pole in the ground, and therefore it's a b'chor b'lekarka. Whereas Rabbi Tzadik says, no, Rabbi Tzadik, remember this was a shita before also. It's not always mechober. I mean, you could take out the bar. I mean, if the cops come and they say you're interfering with traffic or whatever, it happens. You take out the bar. It's not, doesn't have to be there permanently. And that was the machlokas we saw earlier, that according to Rabbi Tzadik, something that is usable as not mechober lekarka is not called mechober lekarka unless it's permanent. Whereas according to Chachamim, you go according to the overwhelming majority of the usages. And by the way, let's put together now for your understanding the three machlokasin that we've had over here about in these Mishnahs between Rabbi Tzadik and the Chachamim. There were shlosha dvarim that Rabbi Tzadik was metami and the Chachamim were metarim in this set. And that was the one we just had, the masmer shel shulchani, and that was the question of the chibor, aron shel grusot, which is the question of rove of the use again. Is it meant to be all in one place or can it move around, which is Rabbi Tzadik's general approach. And this sundial also, masmer shel evan hasha'ot, where again, Rabbi Tzadik was mitamei in all these three cases and the chachomim were mitari. Now, it's possible that the very fact that we put all of these three things together, that would make us understand the nature of the masmer of evan hasha'ot to be the same type of issue and not a more fundamental issue of what is a kli, but rather whether something that is mechuber, we judge according to current situation or overwhelming situation, or whether it's still possible for it to be used without that chibur. Zokta Helika Mishnah of Mishnah Vav. Now, this Mishnah actually is a repetition of the Mishnah in Idyos. It doesn't really work very well as the Mishnah in Kalim, but it's brought over here because it involves the sugyas that this parak has been talking about. And even though we have not had machlokas in here between Rebbe Gamliel and the Chachamim, but the Mishnah in Idyos goes exactly this way. Arba'a devarim, Rebbe Gamliel mitamei, v'chachamim mitaharim. And because of that, it works out very well at this particular spot where we just listed the three things that were the machlokas between Rav Tzadik and the Chachamim. So now we list four things that are machlokas between Rebbe Gamliel and the Chachamim, and they do relate to the various sets of objects that we've been speaking about. And remember, this parak has been very, very focused, each Mishnah, on a set of particular types of objects, and which we need to determine whether we see them as independent kalim or not, whether they're mechuber lekarka or not, or so on. So we were talking about things like hooks, nails, covers, and so on. And a first one over here of the machlokas from Rav Gamliel and Chachamim has to do with a cover. Now you'll remember the word tene. Tene in the Torah is talking about a basket. Baskets are not made out of metal, but they did actually make something that they called a teni shel matechet of ba'alei batim, and there are covers. And we're going to talk about covers. So remember we had all of the different types of covers? So over here, we have a cover that doesn't have a shame as a kli b'fnei atzmo, but nonetheless, as we saw earlier, it's used to hold, you know, potatoes or whatever, so that the teni itself, which may be used for scraps and so on, the cover was used for different things. And according to Rabbi Gamliel, he says that gives it a shame of a kli on itself, even if it's not attached to the teni at this thing, because people do use it for storage. But the Chachomim say it's not its main purpose. And again, this is the Chachomim that we have found throughout the sugya, that if 95% of the time something is used in a particular way, the fact that it's been used in a different way is not considered to make it a kli. Another interesting machlokas over here has to do with a type of a hook. And this is a hook that is attached to a shower back scraper, right? So now you've got a tilui hamagredot. You've got this loop on it that allows it to hang it up. And we use string nowadays, you know, to put around your various bathroom sponges or scrapers or whatever in your shower scraper. So the question is like this. Rabbi Gamliel says, look, it's true that something on its own is that's only mentioned together with the other thing is not considered to be Kli on its own. However, since over here, the piece can often be put around your finger when you want to hold it. You want to hold the sponge. You want to make sure it doesn't fall out. So you put your thumb through it or something. So because of that, it's considered to actually be tamei together with the sponge. Masha Einkein, the chachamim holder, or the scraper, the chachamim, well, it's just a hook. And therefore, I mean, how often do you use it to make the actually magreda more effective? And therefore, you can't see it as part of the magreda again, because that's not its normal primary usage. Now, the third machlokas between them actually introduces some of the issues that we are going to bring up later, and that is golmim. So the question is, what's the din of golme kli matachot? So remember, a golem is a golem. It's sort of a golem. It's not fully finished. So if you're going to make an android, you know, like the Maral, it looks a little weird, you know. So it's not a complete human thing. And over here, a golem of each type of kli means you have it put on the finishing touches. Now, there's a machlokas about why it is that finishing touches on metal kalim are so important, but on clay eights, they don't seem to be as important. We're going to get to that machlokas. And the machlokas in the Gemara and Chulin that we had was, is it because of the chashivut of the kli? So in other words, normally when you're making a sophisticated kli, you're going to be using it for sophisticated purposes. If you've made a nice food server, and it's meant to have some decorative lip on it or whatever, you're not going to use it when it isn't finished. It looks unfinished, and it's not a cover to use it, and that's the reason that you made it, or that's the reason that you bought it. Another approach in the Gemara Chulin is, ho udameyam yikarim. So since this is something that commands a high price, to have it and to sell it, to manufacture it unfinished, is ridiculous, because it's the finishing touches that actually make the main difference in the price. So you've got this kli, if it still looks primitive, what are you going to sell it for, 99 cents in a bazaar? All you need to do is spend an hour putting on these nice finishing touches, and then you make 99 bucks on it. So why would you consider it to be a kli before you complete it? The machlokas over there is nogea kli etzem, as we'll speak about when we get to the golme kli eitz. Then there's another fascinating machlokas. That is, if something is broken into two parts. So we have a tabla, shenechlok al shnayim. So a tabla, remember, is a pshute klicheres. Pshute klicheres, we have over here, actually, it's not pshute klicheres, it has a lip, but it's klicheres that if it broke, so then it's not going to be makabel tuma. So the question is like this: how about if it broke into exactly two parts? Now, we know that Eif Shalat Samsim, everybody is made when it comes to Glicheres Eif Shalat Samsim, because there's too many small pieces that stick in and out of Glicheres. It's not as if it's a metal Kli. So for sure, we have to consider both of them not as being the same, but as being maybe the Rov or maybe the Miut. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, one piece is definitely bigger, which means it could become tamei. Since we don't know which one can be bigger, so then the mela, it's going to be considered tamei. We could still use it. It's not obviously a small piece, and therefore it's not going to be thrown out. And even though the lip won't extend over the broken edge, obviously, and therefore you would think that we would call it pshute kli cheres, but you have got the edge that goes up on three sides, and some mela you can sold it on a little bit, put something under it, you could still use it. People are going to view it as a broken kli. In other words, unless there's a clear-cut bigger piece, it's not the derech to view it as something valuable, and you'll treat it just as a gistra on a broken kli, and you'll throw it out. But modim chachomim l'Rabbi Gamliel, with a tabla, shenechlo l'shnayim, echad gadol ve'echad katan, obviously we agree that if it's broken into one piece that's clearly big and the other piece is small, then yes, people view the bigger piece as the remaining part of the kli, and they'll use it. So over there, the gadol is tamei, and the katan is tahar. Can we try to finish up here with?
Yes, let's finish it there.
Yeah, with Mishnah. I mean, it's late. We've got two Mishnayos here. No, okay. I guess not. Well, I think we have enough time for Mishnah Zion. Is that okay? All right. So Zakei like a Mishnah. Another classification, a set, that is coins that are no longer usable. They've been invalidated either because they've gotten worn away or the government has invalidated them, whatever. So let's say we've got a type of coin that's become so rubbed away that you can't use it for money. So you got, say, you have a dinner, and that was nifsal. And this dinner that was nifsal, we're going to ask, if it's nifsal, how are you allowed to even keep it? You're not allowed to use, to keep a kli that is broken. The Mishnah is going to talk about that. So a dinner is a chatzi shekel, and this became now, rusted. So then you polished it up to use as a decoration for a necklace, which is very common. Rabarnea does this all the time, you know, with his friend, the money guy. So you use it as a decoration on a necklace. And you can have the same thing. So you can only talk about tzavar, a little girl, tzavar kitana. So now it's tame, because remember that decorations are a kli. The same thing would be true if you have a sela. Now, a sela, that's already a heavy-duty coin. And if it became nifsal for using for money, it's still big enough to weigh silver and gold with. So it can only out shokel. But now if you want to use it as a weight, again, there's a question, how are you allowed to do that? Maybe you'll end up cheating someone with it. Fine. We'll talk about it. Tmei'a, there too, because it's being used as a kli melacha. But wait, are you allowed to keep it? Asks the Mishnah, when would you be allowed to keep it? Ad kama tipasel v'hebrishai l'kaima. So to what extent is it considered to be kosher to be allowed to use it as a coin? I'll tell you. If it becomes worth, shnei, this is referring to the sela, if the sela is worth exactly half of its value, it's worth shnei dinarim, and that way you can still be allowed to use it. It's clearly going to be missing. Nobody's going to accept it as a sela. But if you use it as a shekel, that would be fine because it happens to be exactly the value of a shekel. But if it's different, if it's pachot mikan, then you've got to cut it up because otherwise somebody might accept it as a shekel and it isn't worth a shekel. And if it's worth more than a shekel also, if it's less than a sela, people might mistake it as thinking, well, it's still a valid sela, so you'd have to cut it up over there as well. I hope you won't be upset if I just have a big time to finish up the perek. You know, this is like David HaMelech, you know, Lamad David HaMelech is Deme. You know, the Arab guy in the shuk, you know, first he's a little bit, then give me a little bit more, give me Gami Zedim Chasoch Avdecha, you know, one more Mishnah, two more Mishnahs. All right, as long as you guys have the patience to stick it out. What about an olar? An olar is used, we still use the word today, olar, for the type of, nowadays it's used for a knife, but it used to be a pair of scissors, as the Rav explains, which are used specifically by Sofrim for making a kumas. The kumas itself, if it's made out of metal, a metotelet, which is a plumb line, and a mishkolot, any type of weights, the hakurim, hakurim are packaging tools where you press down to get your olives into a container. Hakan, hakan here does not mean a base. Hakan over here means a ruler. Again, this is going back to the kumus and the olar. You used a kan for actually making the sirtut. And so you use it as a ruler. And the kana is a metal piece that gives you a strong backing for putting the parchment onto when you're making a sirtut. Anyway, all of these things are tumeim, even though they have no kibbutz, because obviously it's a klei melacha, and that's fine. Now, moving on to gomim, we talk about gomim of klei matachot, but kol gomim kli eight, which are either because they're not choshev or because they're not going to be very valuable. So gomim kli eight are tumeim, unless it's very expensive wood, which is the ashkaroa, that is so expensive that it's ridiculous. You're not, or it's so harsh. Again, the machlokas and chulin, you would never sell it before it's completely finished. and therefore that's a golem is not a kli. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, there's another thing that is considered to be a golem that's unusable. And that's where you make something out of a grufit shel zayit. Anything that you make out of a grufit shel zayit that you haven't boiled it first is not really usable. Because it's a golem, not because of its beauty and lack of beauty or finishing touches. It's a golem because it's literally unusable. There's so much sap that comes out of it. It's going to be constantly sticky and unusable. Therefore, it needs to be boiled first. And a grufit shel zayit is always going to be tahor. Hadron alach, ah, Baruch Hashem, tabat ha'adam, eder.